Food Today. Science-based information on food, nutrition and safety. From UFIC, the European Food Information Council.
Stefan Storksteek, genannt Bondsman, is a scientific project officer at the Joint Research Centre, the European Commission's in-house science service, in Ispra, Italy. Stefan talks about the assessment of school food policies across 28 European member states, Norway and Switzerland. This work is supporting the implementation of the European Commission's strategy for Europe on nutrition, overweight and obesity-related health issues. Stefan, how did you approach this?
We identified the most recent school food policy in each country, and then we extracted the nutrition and food-related content from those policies using a subset of questions from the SNIPE questionnaire. SNIPE stands for School Nutrition Index of Program Effectiveness, and this SNIPE questionnaire was developed by Public Health Nutrition Research in the UK that allows you to assess the school food policy situation in a given country. And it covers a number of different domains, ranging from the implementation of a school food policy to monitoring, evaluation, financial aspects, and other things. We have used a subset of mainly nutrition-related questions from that questionnaire. And using that questionnaire, we have then extracted the information from the school food policies and analyzed the frequency of the various items across all those policies.
What are the key findings regarding the school food policies in Europe?
We had 34 policies from 30 countries because there were separate policies for Flanders and Wallonia in Belgium and also for the four constituent countries in the UK. Overall, what we found was that school food policies are mandatory in 18 out of the 34 cases of school food policies that we identified. We find that most of these policies actually aim to improve child nutrition, which is not very surprising. But then also 88% aim to reduce or prevent childhood obesity. Then there are also other factors such as preventing or reducing malnutrition. Then another important finding was that not all of those school food policies actually define outcome measures or have evaluation criteria. So it was very interesting to see that only 56% of the policies looked at to what extent really food provision at school works, what is really happening in terms of the implementation of the policy. And then take-up of school meals, the nutrition of children, food consumption at school, and financial viability of services were other criteria, but to a yet lesser extent. Then SNIPE also asked about food-based standards across the school food policies. Food-based standards are, for example, whether fruit and vegetable provision was required at a certain frequency per week or per day, a certain quantity, whether there should have been access to fresh drinking water, whether there was a certain frequency of serving dairy products specified. What we found was actually that the access and availability of fresh drinking water and then also the restriction of soft drinks as such, that was explicitly stated in 71% of the school food policies for lunchtime and in 65% for other mealtimes. But we also see as the second most frequent food-based standard the provision of food and vegetables, and that was for 79% of school food policies for lunch and 68% for other mealtimes. And then we also had food-based standards such as the provision of salt being restricted, which was in 65% of the school food policies for lunch and 53% for other mealtimes. And also the frequency of serving red meat, which was at the lower end of our scale at 53% for lunch, and it didn't apply for any other mealtimes. Regarding the nutrient-based standards, where certain maximum or minimum levels for nutrients such as fat, protein, carbohydrates, iron, vitamin A, or saturated fat are set, appeared less frequently in about two-thirds of the policies, and mainly focusing on energy. And second item was fat. And so we see it's really mainly a concern of overconsumption of certain energy-rich nutrients and therefore overall energy. And this ties in well with the overall aim to reduce childhood obesity. So overall, as take-home messages, we can say that all 30 countries considered have a school food policy in place, and we have an almost even split between mandatory and voluntary policies. But overall, the extent to which these are implemented or what can be done in the school food setting differs by history and context of providing food in schools in the respective country. And overall, our descriptive map of European school food policies, which for the first time really covers all European countries in the EU 28 plus Norway and Switzerland, allows researchers to assess the impact on public health and also policymakers to have a facilitated exchange of experiences and support one another.
Food Today, science-based information on food, nutrition and safety. From UFIC, the European Food Information Council.